secretly recorded from deep inside the bowels of a decommissioned missile silo, we bring you the man, one single man who wants to bring light to the darkness and dark to the lightness. Although he's not always right, he is always certain. So now, with security protocols in place, the protesters have been forced back behind the barricades and the blast doors are now sealed. Without further delay, let me introduce you to the host of Hutcast, Mr. Tim Hutner.
Thank you, Sergeant at Arms. You can now take your post.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the individual and participants. These views and opinions expressed do not represent those of the host or the show. The opinions in this broadcast are not to replace your legal, medical, or spiritual professionals.
Happy Sunday and welcome to Hutcast 4/21/24. From our undisclosed bunker location, we have on the phone with us today Dr. Brian Artis, back by popular demand. You guys have been sending me emails and instant messages and all this stuff. I had to get him back on. He's a rock star in his field. So let's have a conversation with him today and see what's up in the world, in his world. Let's welcome him back. So stand by for Hutcast. We will be right back.
The current healthcare system is not meeting the needs of real people. People are demanding better care, better options, and want results. So Gareth Care has launched and is advocating for those in the U.S. and internationally, as people are realizing the controlled system has not been there for them. If you want your own independent advocate that is not controlled by big corporations, call or text and enroll today to get your advocate for your needs serving all ages. For any healthcare needs you might have, you matter. Here's how you get started. www.garethcare.com. That is GRAITHCARE.com. Call Gareth Care direct at 469-864-7149. Call or text the questions to Healthcare Sucks and get an advocate with Gareth Care. 469-864-7149. Mention Hutcast and you will get an additional 10% discount on your first advocacy bundle. The staff at Gareth Care will take care of you. Remember, mention Hutcast and get that extra 10% off your first bundle of time. And this is all brought to you from Gareth Care.
Welcome back to Hutcast. On the phone with us is Dr. Artis. Doc, tell me how you've been.
I've been awesome. How have you been? I've been all over the world, it feels like.
Oh, man.
Life hasn't really slowed down, but we just got back from London doing a presentation there for 3 days. We'll be headed out to several states here in the next couple of days. So it's been a very busy time. Glad to be back on your podcast.
I tell you what, I have had nothing but praise about you on this podcast.
Well, that's wonderful.
It's incredible. And I reached out to Christine a couple of times and said, hey, we got to get him back on here because these guys are going crazy for you.
Well, that's awesome. Good. Well, I hope that people appreciate the messaging and can understand the messaging, and hopefully they can apply some of the information we give them and their life improves.
Yes. And that's a win. That's a win for everybody who pays attention.
It's the ultimate win.
So tell me what's going on. Last time we spoke, we were talking about the rDNA, I think it was.
Yeah, the mRNA.
mRNA, yes. Has anything happened on that field since then? I mean, because you kind of hear it kind of dried up out in the world of COVID and Fauci and all those crazy things.
Yeah, what you're seeing is and witnessing is somewhat of a hush, a quieting after the storm, right? It's like there's been a lull in the emergency and the alarms and the panics around the COVID-19 pandemic. So there's kind of like this weird like lull feeling right now. But to bring people up to speed, if we're going to talk about mRNA, what we learned recently in the last 6 months only is that, or the last 8 months, is that the mRNA itself, which stands for messenger RNA, is what the body uses to actually manufacture proteins, manufacture all of our tissues and organs. So this mRNA is like your blueprint to actually transcribe and make something new, a new cell, a new organ, you name it. So the mRNA itself, we were told that when you're injecting people with these COVID-19 mRNA shots, which was Pfizer and Moderna for Americans, We were being told that that mRNA was instructing our cells to manufacture the spike proteins of COVID, and you would now have these small amounts of defenders ready for your exposure to any of these spike proteins. But that's not really what they're doing. Actually, what's in the shots, there is no mRNA in the shots,
really?
Even though they call them mRNA shots. What we have learned is, you can go on the NIH's website right now, they actually tell you there's no mRNA in any of the COVID-19 mRNA shots.
Oh, boy.
And instead, what they tell you is there is something called DNA plasmids that are in those shots. And to most people, they don't know what those are, but DNA and mRNA are not the same thing. So DNA is double helix. We all know that. Di means double. So you've got two. And then RNA is just one strand. mRNA is the information, the blueprint to actually design the RNA template and the DNA template. So what they tell you is there's DNA plasmids only in the shots. And it's a circular piece of DNA that is being injected into your body. And that DNA, a plasmid, gets absorbed into your cells and into bacteria and yeast in your body. And that DNA hula hoop circle of DNA, called a plasmid, that's in the shots, not mRNA, tells your cells in your body or your bacteria and yeast that you have in your body to manufacture venom, poisons, or spike proteins. Whatever the payload they want, it's embedded in the plasmid. It's a genetic code. So they just put a code, and they can tell that bacteria or yeast to make anthrax. They can tell that bacteria or yeast to manufacture fluoride. They could ask it to make glyphosate, MSG. They could ask it to make all kinds of poisons. They could ask it to make mustard gas if they wanted to, chemotherapy.
Oh boy.
They could tell the bacteria yeast to do any of that. That's what the shots are. So what we've learned is that for the last 20 years, scientists have figured out how to get bacteria, yeast, and your own human cells to make mRNA proteins of all kinds of poisons and venoms and spike proteins. So your body becomes the manufacturer for these deadly, and as far as spike proteins for COVID, it was always defined since April of 2020, spike proteins of COVID, which they are telling you your body's going to make after you get these shots inside of you, were identical to king cobra venom neurotoxin called cobra toxin and another venom protein from another snake out of Asia called the crepe snake. So when I say your body's now going to be engineered to manufacture venom proteins, that's because the spike proteins were figured out to be neurotoxic venom proteins from snakes. So if you're getting these plasmids injected into you and your body's now making mRNA proteins, your body will now have the instructions to manufacture king cobra venom in your body and crepe snake venom, both of which is deadly to humans. And you will see, as a result, myocarditis, heart failure, heart damage from these proteins, these venoms. You will see turbo cancers being developed. That is a reaction to venoms. This was figured out in 1956, that venom exposure to brain tissue will cause rapid turbo cancers to develop within 72 hours or less. Do you want to know what the antidote is?
What's that?
Nicotine is the antidote.
Yeah, oh, that's right. You had talked about that. The patch.
Yeah. Yep. So nicotine was one of the ultimate antidotes the entire time to COVID-19. So the spike proteins of COVID, these venom proteins, are blocked by nicotine. Tobacco has always been for millennia, been a medicinal plant used to treat snake bite victims, scorpion bite victims, spider bite victims. It didn't matter. Any venomous poison was always addressed with tobacco. And that's because nicotine is the curative agent that protects against the toxic effects of venoms. But tobacco is not the only thing that contains nicotine, thank God, because governments around the world are now targeting all tobacco manufacturers and restricting access of their citizens to get tobacco products.
Really?
Yes. In fact, our United States president 3 months ago just announced he's going to be the first president in United States history to reduce the allowed amount of nicotine only in all tobacco products manufactured in America. Now, why is he going after nicotine? Well, he's not the only one doing it. King's speech, King Charles, last year announced in England that by the year 2030, not a single citizen in England will be able to purchase any tobacco products or nicotine products.
Hmm.
Canada has already announced by the year 2030, there will be no access to their citizens for tobacco products or nicotine products. Australia, New Zealand, they've all done it. By the year 2030, they've all announced There will be no more access to tobacco products. Now, this has all come in lieu of the COVID-19 vaccine pandemic.
Okay.
In May of 2023, Joe Biden dismisses the national emergency of COVID. The very next month is when you start seeing all five of these countries announcing new bans, restrictions, and taxation on all tobacco products. And it's only been since the Watch the Water documentary 2 years ago, within 2 months of that, is when every single country I just named made health agency announcements in 1 week. All five of those countries, all in unison in 1 week, said, we are going to ban all tobacco and nicotine products from our countries. And so you're watching them take these actions. Now, the King's speech last year was, and I was in London to talk about it 2 weeks ago, in the King's speech, he said, anybody born after January 1st, 2009 will never be able to buy a tobacco product in England. So wow. This is how they're starting the, we are going to make it too hard, too difficult, and put massive restrictions on your ability to get nicotine products. The great news is I was there in London to educate the audiences there that were from 16 different countries. You don't need tobacco to get nicotine. In fact, dietary nicotine, nicotine you can eat, is found in eggplants, tomatoes, white potatoes, every bell pepper you've ever eaten, cauliflower, celery, green tomatoes, red tomatoes. All of these are high nicotine-containing plants. Most people just don't know, and we're not educated that they can get nicotine in these.
Right.
The second highest-containing nicotine food on Earth is eggplant, actually.
Is that right?
The third highest is tomatoes, and that's always shocking for people to see. I had no idea that tomatoes contain so much nicotine.
Okay.
But nicotine, in and of itself, we've all been lied to for years. A part of the presentations I'm being asked to do now around the world is to bring people up to speed on the truth about nicotine, because starting in 1994, the FDA in America started telling the whole world that nicotine was addictive and is an addictive chemical, and made sure it was plastered all over the world that everybody knew this is an addictive substance. Don't use it. Well, the truth is nicotine is not addictive. The FDA knew it wasn't addictive, and they've lied to everybody ever since. And I have been educating people over the last 2 years why it is they've been lying to you about nicotine.
Okay.
And there's a reason why, two main reasons why they had to lie to the whole world about nicotine being addictive when it is not. And I know this might be hard for listeners if they have not heard this yet, but nicotine is not addictive. You're going to read it a million times on billboards, on every tobacco product, every commercial, radio, TV, you name it. But nicotine is not addictive, but you're going to see a lie that it is addictive.
Wow.
In 2015, Harvard actually did a study, and they wanted to know, what is the most addictive? Is it cocaine? Is it nicotine? Is it sugar? Is it heroin? And they did some animal studies. Well, they couldn't get a single animal to ever in 6 months become addicted to nicotine. But every other substance they were testing got massive addictive results. Sugar, cocaine, heroin. So they decided, why won't these animals become addicted to nicotine? I thought nicotine was addictive. So Harvard goes online, goes to the FDA's website, goes to the tobacco giants, all websites, and they print out 7 million pages of research and development documents.
Wow, that's a lot.
7 million. And they wanted to read every page since the 1970s of their R&D work. Research and development. And they found in all the papers of every tobacco giant that they figured out in the 70s that they had consulted with chemists from around the world, every single one of these companies.
Okay.
And they wanted to know how to make their products more addictive. And in every one of these meetings, it was disclosed in the 70s that these chemists would tell them all, if you just add these aroma adding chemicals called pyrazines, P-Y-R-A-Z-I-N-E-S, if you'll just add pyrazines that will increase the aroma flavor as they inhale or taste your products, pyrazines are addictive to all humans. And it will make your product super addictive.
Wow.
So that is what they have learned. And Harvard published in 2015 that nicotine is not addictive. Harvard then said in their paper, the Food and Drug Administration should start regulating pyrazines instead of nicotine. Because they give you the illusion that it's nicotine that's the problem.
Right.
Nicotine is in tobacco naturally. Pyrazines are not in tobacco naturally. These are being added by men in, you know, manufacturing plants to tobacco.
Sure.
making it addictive, and now they're lying to you about this product being addictive. The FDA is. So this is why the urgency for telling people is there's two main reasons why for 30 years the governments of the world, including America, had to lie to you about nicotine.
Wow.
Number one, COVID was planned way before 2020.
Okay.
In order to get people to buy into the COVID-19 narrative. And that narrative was there's a bat virus flying around in the air that's going to make you sick if you inhale it. And smokers are the most susceptible. The elderly and the infants are going to be the most susceptible. This was the story. In order to sell that narrative, that was the narrative they wanted people to buy into. They had to see people getting sick, falling ill themselves, to order to demand what was the overall reason for the agenda. COVID-19, the whole reason was to make sure everybody on the earth volunteered themselves to get injected with a vaccine. That was the entire purpose for COVID-19. That was the entire purpose for preparing for a COVID-19 pandemic. 30 years ago, they knew nicotine was going to be a problem if they were going to get America to buy into the COVID-19 narrative. And I've showed the audiences this. In 1990, the CDC published that 51% of all American adults were smokers of cigarettes and tobacco products. 51% in 1990. 1994 is when the FDA comes out and says nicotine is addictive, even though our Congress asked the seven CEOs 3 months earlier to come into Congress in Washington, D.C. and swear under oath that nicotine was not addictive. And all seven of them in unison in 25 seconds did it. Wow. In front of everybody under threat of perjury.
Wow.
Three months later, the FDA comes out and says, we don't care what they said. Nicotine's addictive. 51% of all American adults were smoking in 1994 when the FDA said this. By the year 2020, when the COVID-19 narrative kicks off, the CDC publishes their new numbers on smokers in America, and it is now only 11% of U.S. American adults are smoking by the year 2020. Now, just so y'all know, listeners, I do not like smoking. I do not recommend anybody does smoke. I've never smoked in my entire life, and I think it's horrible for your health. However, something really ironic happened during COVID. The whole thing that's ironic is smokers were labeled to be the highest at-risk group of people to get COVID before even COVID happened. And then during COVID, all you've heard is smokers are the highest at risk,
yep.
when in fact, smokers were always the least affected by COVID. In fact, there's no other group, no nationality, no gender, that is less represented than smokers in every category of risk, death, injury, hospitalization from COVID than smokers. Smokers were the least hospitalized. Smokers were the ones that least died. Smokers had the least amount of cases reported of being sick during COVID than any other group of people. The people that actually died the most were diabetics. Yeah. The people who least died were smokers. Now, the irony is, if in 1994 the FDA did not come out with a smear campaign to tell all of us for the last 30 years that nicotine was addictive, 90% of adults in America by 2020 were not smoking. If they did not start that smear campaign 30 years ago, 90% of adults in America would have never gotten sick. They would have been smoking cigarettes and it would have never gotten sick.
Sure.
So the marketing campaign for everybody to get vaccinated to prevent getting COVID, it wouldn't have worked because 90% of all Americans would have been like, I never got sick anyway. What do I need a vaccine for? So this was the reason why they had to lie. The majority of my presentations right now, worldwide, and you can download these at thedrartistshow.com. Every time I do a presentation, we download my PowerPoint presentation and put it for free over at thedrartistshow.com underneath patient resources. Just click patient resources. You'll see the title of our presentations. The one I'm referencing right now is titled The Other N-Word. The Other N-Word. That's a 380-page presentation, and there is a 3-hour video presentation I do also, and that's on our site.
Wow.
At the Dr. Artie Show. So I just did film that a couple weeks ago, but about 8 months ago or so is when I did the presentation of the other N-word. The other N-word, N stands for nicotine. I just found out in the last 2 years the word nicotine makes medical doctors and Americans almost as uncomfortable as another N-word. And I find that very funny. Like, why are y'all so weird about this word? The reason why they're so weirded out by the word is because the FDA has done an incredible job of making us leery of nicotine. And the truth is, I know you're not addicted to nicotine, and nicotine's not addictive, because I know everybody listening to this show right now has eaten cauliflower, celery, bell peppers. They've eaten white potatoes, and they've eaten eggplant, and they've eaten tomatoes for sure. And they have never broke out in the middle of the night with night sweats from withdrawals of the addiction to cauliflower. I've never heard anybody in this audience, no one in the audience has ever heard anybody walk up to their boss at work and say, I need a bell pepper break. I ate some eggplant the other night and I'm having a hard time not focusing anymore without eggplant. This is because nicotine is not addictive. They made it addictive, and they did this with man-made chemicals.
So no quiet quitting out there on your bosses.
That's right.
For eggplant.
Let's see there. So the second thing, the reason why the FDA had to lie so big, this is why it is I'm being asked to be flown around the world to do these presentations, is because of what I've learned since learning about nicotine's protective measures against COVID. I want to know what else about nicotine don't I know?
Right.
I mean, I've thought my whole life that nicotine was just bad for you, so it causes cancer and addiction. So I had to go figure it out. Well, this is one of the reasons why in 1994, the FDA had to come out and lie to everybody and tell you that it was addictive and tobacco products should be avoided. And why it was there was a huge lawsuit by the end of the 1990s where the tobacco giants supposedly now reveal they knew that their tobacco products caused cancer. They just didn't want to admit it to Congress. I actually think that was all a sham. And I think that was a sham settlement. I think it was a sham entire thing. I think it was just a narrative to put out into the media, newspaper articles, radio articles, TV articles, newscasts, that the tobacco industry admitted they knew it causes cancer.
So
they needed as many people as possible. They needed as many people as possible to stop smoking and using tobacco products, period.
Wow.
In order for this narrative of COVID-19 to fly and to be accepted by the majority. And there's a bigger, I think, even more sinister, cannot be bigger, I guess, can't get much bigger than an entire lie on the whole globe like COVID-19. All right. There's a second huge lie.
Okay.
That provided massive amounts of profits and political gain when lying about nicotine being addictive.
What is it?
And this is one of the most tall tale, most disgusting things I could not believe that I've been uncovering. And this is what people are getting very excited about to learn. Did you know, does your audience know, that nicotine in tobacco plants and in tobacco products, cigarettes included, cigars, snuff, did you know that tobacco used of any kind, commercial, organic, doesn't matter, did you know that all tobacco products are proven to prevent all people from developing Parkinson's disease?
No.
Yeah. Did you know that nicotine and tobacco products are proven to prevent and reverse multiple sclerosis?
Holy cow.
Did you know? Did you know that tobacco products and nicotine in those tobacco products, nicotine particularly, is known and published to prevent and reverse Alzheimer's disease? Have you ever heard your medical doctor tell you that all people that are struggling, the millions of them in America right now with arthritis, have you been told that tobacco products should be used, or tobacco should be considered, or nicotine patches or nicotine gum might be considered, nicotine pouches to suck on? Have you been told that you can go eat a whole bunch of eggplants, Mary, tomatoes, and you can improve your arthritis? No, in fact, you've been lied to even further. All those suffering with arthritis in this country have been told that they need to be on prednisone for the rest of their life. This is a genetic issue that they can't handle or fix on their own.
Yep.
So they have to be on steroids, and they have to avoid a specific family of foods for the rest of their life to reduce inflammation and pain. And they tell them, medical doctors are taught and trained to say this, Mary, you have arthritis of any kind, gouty arthritis, psoriatic arthritis, rheumatoid arthritis, osteoarthritis, doesn't matter. Mary, you have arthritis, and you need to avoid nightshade vegetables.
Really?
Because nightshade vegetables create inflammation. The truth is, no, they don't. But if you ate them and continued eating them, you would see your inflammation go away.
So nightshade, define that.
Nightshade vegetables are eggplants, squashes, zucchinis. Those are all the the nightshade veggies, tomatoes are inside that group or family. Oh. So zucchini, eggplant, squash, tomatoes, that's your nightshade vegetables. Nightshade vegetables contain the highest amount of nicotine. And eating those plants, they publish, researchers do and scientists do all over the world, if they eat those plants each day, it prevents ever developing Parkinson's, MS, or Alzheimer's. If you eat those plants, it prevents developing ulcerative colitis, a digestive bowel disorder. It's also proven nicotine and tobacco and nicotine in these vegetables, proven to prevent arthritis, reverse type 1 diabetes. Okay. And I show the world these studies where they prove they can reverse type 1 diabetes with nicotine alone.
Wow.
How they can cure brain tumors called glioblastomas in less than 72 hours with just nicotine alone. And it's not very much nicotine either. So these are, this is a whole list. Autism is proven. If you wear a nicotine patch and put that on an autistic child, teenager, or adult, all of their behaviors improve within 7 days. Just a nicotine patch.
Holy cow.
This is one of the main reasons they've had to bastardize and lie to us about nicotine. They had to. Why did the Food and Drug Administration have to lie to us for the last 30 years that nicotine is addictive? Mm-hmm. And why would that same agency, whose first F letter, FDA, stands for food? And why is this organization that represents all the food in America and researches food, supposedly, why didn't they tell anybody in America for the last 30 years that nicotine is inside of vegetables that you're eating every single day?
Right.
I mean, why aren't they telling you that? Why are they not telling you it's in those vegetables? And why are they screaming at you with a bullhorn 24/7 that the same nutrient is in tobacco plants and that stuff's dangerous?
Yep.
And why don't they tell you that? So, and why does that same organization push shots on you and tell you you can't go to work or hug your grandparents,
right,
or hug your own children,
right,
if you don't get this shot that a drug company made for us to give you? So to me, the much bigger lie was set in motion in 1994, and that was to ban all tobacco products, make them look bad so that people will turn away. It worked. 90% of all Americans have turned their eyes and backs on tobacco and nicotine by 2020. In those 30 years. But this is what I want your audience to understand. What you need to know is not only did that decision for the FDA to lie to you and repeat that lie over and over for 30 years that nicotine is bad for you, not only did that set you up to get sick and receive a vaccine and volunteer yourself for injury and harm playing Russian roulette with a COVID-19 mRNA shot or technology that's never been used before, not only was that the setup, now they lied to you and me and everyone you know and told them that this substance, this nutrient found in plants and vegetables that they weren't going to tell you about in vegetables, but we're going to tell you about one plant just because they didn't want you using it because it has the most of this nutrient in it. Do you know how many prescription drugs instead you've been sold and told to take for the rest of your life for conditions like Parkinson's disease, Alzheimer's disease, MS, ulcerative colitis, all the steroids, every prednisone patient that is unfortunately living in chronic pain is now swallowing or injecting prednisone in their body every day? They're also taking methotrexate for rheumatoid arthritis pain. They're taking Plaquenil, which is hydroxychloroquine. I mean, they're all taking drugs being told they have to live on these for the rest of their life because they were never honestly told about the benefits and health benefits of nicotine. And instead of telling you the benefits, they decided to, one, withhold truth about nicotine and vegetables, being proven that if you eat a dose or serving of those every single day, nightshade veggies, you can prevent Parkinson's and MS. And they went as far to show this. Multiple sclerosis, by the way, this is a neurological disease. I show the audiences these studies. Mm-hmm. They did these studies for entire countries.
Wow.
They tracked all aged individuals who were using snuff, tobacco snuff.
Okay.
And they said, we're not going to put a limit on how much tobacco these people use, but for the next 20 years, we're going to evaluate what's the risk factor for developing MS in Denmark, I believe is the country. No, it's in Sweden. Sorry. It's in Sweden. The entire country is Sweden. What they find was they said, but we're not going to limit our participants in review of people just snuffing. We're going to actually take all tobacco products, any tobacco cigarette products you're using, we're going to include those people in the study. What they found was over 20 years, the more snuff tobacco product tucked in the lip that you sucked on all day or chewed on.
Right.
So snuff, the amount of snuff and the amount of cigarettes combined led to the least risk for developing any neurological disease, MS, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, dementia included, memory loss. All of that is prevented the more tobacco product you use.
Okay.
And that is what they publish. So what you find is when you dive into this and realize, why would the government lie to you? There must have been a reason for the lie.
What about the cancers?
Why would the FDA? What's that?
What about the cancers?
Yes, and the brain cancers. Oh, my gosh. Glioblastomas right now represent 33% of all brain tumors. They represent 50% of all glioblastomas. Astrocytomas.
Okay.
These brain tumors are completely cured with nicotine, 0.2 milligrams for every 2.2 pounds of body weight. You take that each day, just that amount of nicotine, it dissolves a brain tumor, a glioblastoma, one of the most aggressive, deadly brain tumors, period, on Earth right now. It dissolves it by half in 72 hours.
Okay.
Do another 72 hours, and you will actually dissolve the whole thing. Without surgery, without chemotherapy, without radiation.
So my question is, you wear this patch, or you have nicotine products, or whatever you're doing, what about the cancer that they've put in our heads that if you smoke, it creates cancer, if you chew, it creates lip cancer, the cancer caused from tobacco products? What do you do then?
Yeah, that's a great question. So when I say anybody going to be using tobacco products or tobacco, you should only be using organic tobacco cigarettes. They have them. They have like American Spirits is an organic tobacco. They don't add any of these 599 man-made chemicals the FDA allows the tobacco giants to add to your cigarettes and tobacco products. How do you know it's tobacco that's causing you to get cancer or develop cancer? How do you know it's not one of the 599 chemicals man makes that are added and allowed to be added to every tobacco product? This is why we recommend organic products. There's actually two brands of nicotine gum or patches that we recommend because they are the cleanest of those brands. And we have looked into every ingredient, other ingredient, emulsifier, preservative, you name it. Inside of gum, there are nicotine gum. We only recommend the 2 milligram tablets. They only have 2 and 4 milligrams. We only recommend the 2 milligrams.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a brand called Lucy, L-U-C-Y, like Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds.
Okay.
L-U-C-Y. And then the patch brand that we recommend the most is called Rugby, just like the sport, R-U-G-B-Y, and that can be purchased on Amazon. It's the only one I use. I use it every day. For people starting out, I just want you to know, you can go to thedrshow.com at Patient Resources tab is a PDF titled nicotine.pdf, and it's a free, just open it. And this document tells you exactly how to use nicotine patches, nicotine gum, nicotine pouches that I recommend, whether it's to prevent, cure yourself, or treat something. I've given you the list there. So when I say this, I just want you to know I've got the gum and the patches stuff there. I recommend most people start using 1 milligram of nicotine a day. That's a small amount, and that's the same amount in one cigarette you would get. If you do 1 milligram gum, that means you're going to buy the 2 milligram gums and cut them in half. You're only going to need half of one a day for a week. With patches, they come in 7 milligrams, 14 milligrams, and 21 milligrams. And you just need to cut them into smaller pieces. If you buy the 7 milligram one, you're going to cut it into 7 equal size slivers. And you're just going to wear one of those every day, either on your arm, thigh, ribs. And I want to tell the world, this is pretty exciting. I'm being flown all over the world to go do these presentations, but I was just in Michigan 3 weeks ago, and a lady runs up to me and says, Dr. Harris, I came all the way here from some other state. I needed to let you know, I watched a documentary of yours I did in September called The Antidote, and it was all about nicotine. She says, I watched it, then I invited all my friends and coworkers to come to my house the next day to watch it again. One of my friends had lost all of her eyesight in her right eye and had gone completely blind as a result of COVID.
Wow.
She was told it was permanent blindness in her right eye. For 2 years now, she had this. She came to the house, watched The Antidote, left my house. On the way home, she stopped at a CVS or Walgreens pharmacy and purchased nicotine gum and started chewing nicotine gum. On the second day of chewing 3 pieces a day of 2 milligram nicotine gum, this lady calls her friend, who's now standing in front of me, Dr. Artis, and says, 3 weeks ago, Dr. Artis, within 2 days of my friend chewing nicotine gum, 100% of her eyesight was returned.
Holy cow.
you cured her blindness with nicotine gum. I said, I didn't do anything. Congratulations, though. That's amazing. Now, that's not the only story. We've heard people reversing their deafness with nicotine patches and nicotine gum in 30 minutes or less, having that for 2 years. So we've seen tons of just incredible. We've seen myocarditis symptoms, AFib, reverse in 5 minutes.
Wow.
Of just soaking your feet in tobacco water. We just had somebody boil tobacco leaves in water for 10 minutes, then take that water, put it in the floor, and have this senior citizen, elderly father, who was having AFib episodes 10 times a day. We just had to put his feet in the water.
Okay.
Then 5 minutes, all of his AFib situation he had right then going on the emergency stopped. He's never had a reoccurrence of any AFib. And he was having these every week, multiple a week, going to the hospital, getting all kinds of injections to calm his heart down.
Sure, right.
This guy's, all that was reversed within 5 minutes of his first foot soak in tobacco water.
Did it stay gone?
So this is the power. Yes, and it's been 6 months now, and he's not had a single reoccurrence ever again.
Where's the rest of the medical community on this? Why aren't they jumping out and saying, hey, this is a real deal?
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, actually. It'll take them a little while to wake up. Remember how when there's this guy named Galileo determined that, you know, the Earth was not the center of the universe. Remember what happened to this guy?
Yeah.
The whole scientific community and the church threw him in prison for the rest of his life. And he died stating with his conviction that he knew that the Earth rotated about the sun. I created a model. I showed the church and the scientific community, and they immediately imprisoned me.
Wow.
And defamed him and left him in there until he died. So that's usually what happens when anybody with any new information that the rest of the scientific community is trying to catch up on. It usually takes a little while for them to catch up. But what's very exciting is, I'll give one big shout out. There's a guy named Dr. Peter McCullough who has a Substack. I get his emails. But he has a Substack where him and a guy named John Leake write health articles. And he wrote an article about 2 months ago that I saw, and everybody forwarded it to me. But he actually did a review on a paper I have been showing everybody for 2 years now. It just took 2 years for it to show up in a Substack, which is great. But I'm glad he finally did it. Lots of people said this was a big step forward for the medical community because Peter was admitting that this is right. The story is he was relaying and reviewing a research paper done in January of 2023. In January 2023, some scientists took long hauler COVID patients who had to have a combination of 21 problems, health problems that would not resolve with other medications or therapy. They took these individuals who had suffered for over 2 years after having a mild case of COVID. Now they had to have complaints of loss of taste and smell,
right.
Vertigo, dizziness, brain fog, exercise-induced asthma. They'd have new high blood pressure diagnosed. They'd have new onset of diabetes. These were just a list of stuff they had to have. They took these groups of people who had had no resolution of their symptoms or problems and asked them to do one thing and one thing only. We want you to wear a 7-milligram nicotine patch for just 6 days. They all did it. And as the researchers report, I quote, the results of wearing nicotine patches to resolve their symptoms was so profound, it was either immediate or within just a couple days of using the nicotine patches daily.
Wow.
That 100% of their symptoms disappeared. These people waited, the scientists, 6 months after they took the last nicotine patch off on day 6. They only wore them for 6 days. These scientists followed up with all of these long hauler COVID patients 6 months later and wanted to know, have you ever used another nicotine patch? None of them had used one again. Good. Have any of your symptoms returned you had before for 2 years? Not a single symptom had even returned. This is the power of the antidote. The researchers even said this treatment using nicotine replacement therapy, using nicotine patches, is far superior to anything else being used in medicine to treat long hauler COVID symptoms. So he did a review on this. What I found funny was all the MDs and scientists around the world that saw Peter McCullough do a review on this published paper that nicotine is the antidote to long hauler COVID.
Okay.
That when he published this, a lot of people were excited about it, but they all thought it was odd. He didn't say anything about me talking about this for the last 2 years because I've reviewed that paper everywhere I've gone at every event he's ever been to with me. And I just didn't care. I actually just want the audiences to have the information so they don't live with symptoms anymore that they don't need to live with. So,
and nicotine
can be a huge blessing and not to live in fear anymore. I wear a 3 milligram size nicotine patch every single day. I have for 2 years now. I will for the rest of my life, because I have learned in the last 2 years that science knows that every single virus on earth binds to nicotine receptors in your body. Therefore, if you have nicotine going into your body and you eat nightshade vegetables, or you take advantage of tobacco products, or you use organic tobacco plants, or you use nicotine patches or gums, you are going to be the people that are protected from all viruses, including influenza viruses, HIV's virus, rabies virus, polio virus, all of them. I have already reviewed all of them. They all target the nicotine receptors. And in order for the World Economic Forum, in order for the Committee of 300, in order for the Club of Rome to manage getting 100% of the world's population to vaccinate themselves in the future, they got really close. They got 5 billion of the 8 billion this time during this experiment they called COVID. Their goal is 100% domination. And you, 100% of us volunteering our arms, are forced to be injected with some vaccine. And what have they discovered is this amazing tool they can use to get us to bow our knees to science and their drugs.
Okay.
They have lied to every single one of us about viruses. And now what is all the major governments around the world doing in the last 2 years? They have put in very strict guidelines that they are going to deplete access of nicotine products to all their citizens by the year 2030.
Okay.
So by the year 2030, they're going to release their next Marburg virus, their next Ebola virus, their next coronavirus, whatever they want to call it, COVID-31, whatever. They're going to release whatever they want to release. Nicotine is the antidote. This is why the governments of the world are trying to destroy your confidence in that product and your ability to even get it. So this is why people around the world, as they're hearing this, they're going, oh my God. And as I show them, They are grasping the gravity of the message. They know, the governments around the world know, tobacco is a disease preventing nutritious plant. They know that eggplants, tomatoes, bell peppers have a nutrient to most neurological diseases, most cardiovascular diseases, and every viral disease on earth. Yes, including rabies and HIV. They know nicotine is an antidote to all those. And I keep showing all of these research studies that they're proving nicotine is the antidote to all of these things. So to improve the lives of people around the world and protect them from the injury and harm of the lies about viruses, susceptibility to new technologies and vaccines that have been proven safe and effective ever, to try to limit injury and harm to those people. This is why we individuals do research, why we get excited to learn what's in nature God gave us that can provide benefit, protection, and immunity.
Well, let's ask a question.
Nicotine is one of those.
Why? Why do they want to dominate this? Why do they want to? Why do they want to think they need this control of us, the citizens in the world, and they're going to do it through a chemical? It doesn't make sense.
You're right. It really doesn't make sense. And I'll tell you, there's only one thing, because a lot of this did not make sense to me for, man, first 2 years of COVID, probably I was going crazy.
Yeah.
Because so many things in the government agencies and what I was speaking and researching on and being interviewed on, I just couldn't believe what we were uncovering and just how outright evil it appeared to be. So lots of people that I know, trust, and that are older than me have actually recommended that I read a lot of things, because they could see I was being bothered by the actions of a few.
Okay.
During COVID. So there was there's many books that I read during the last 4 years, and each of them actually had some major benefits to me understanding what's going on in the world, but nothing was more powerful and clearly defining for me what is going on in the world. And that sums up everything related to nicotine and tobacco I just talked about, COVID-19, the pandemics, viral pandemics, the whole scandemic vaccines, you name it.
Scandemic,
all of it is wrapped up. All of this is wrapped up into one book I read, and it's called The Conspirator's Hierarchy, The Story of the Committee of 300. And this is written by Dr. John Coleman, C-O-L-E-M-A-N. Now, Dr. John Coleman wrote this book in 1995. So right at the beginning of the internet. So very few internet sites anywhere to copy and paste information. I like any books before 1995. So this one's right on the edge. So 1995, and I'm serious, I just think the internet's just full of crap. So, and most people write their books off of research they're doing online, and that's just lame. I like books and old books prior to the internet. But this guy's book, I read this book, and it finally surmised for me, truly gave me a view of what's really going on in the world and leading up to reading that book and ever since reading that book 3 years ago. Everything I see fits directly in line with what was written in that book in 1995. So nothing appears alarming. Nothing appears questioning, like, why would they do this? Now I know why they're doing everything they're doing. At least that's what I got from reading this book. And it's been very odd to me that something could be this concise, this specific, in everything related to military, economics, and politics in the world right now.
So what do you think?
All of it.
What do you think of Orwell's book?
And Orwell's book, 1984.
Yeah.
I've actually not read that whole book. I've only seen sections of that book, but it actually reads exactly like that Orwellian utopia, doesn't it? That's what they're trying to transition us to. So this book written in 1995 that I'm referencing by The Story of Committee of 300 by Dr. John Coleman, it surmises everything Orwell wrote.
Oh.
However, it discloses the groups and organizations of people that were doing it and their timelines. That's a little bit about what was different. So in the 1995 book, The Story of the Committee of 300, what you learn about is that in the 1960s, there is a group of people called the Club of Rome. And the Club of Rome write articles, like, of its members. There's not very many people in this group. The Club of Rome is a group of people underneath a different group, a superior group called the Committee of 300. As referenced by Dr. Coleman, the author. Just below them is a group of individuals they called the Club of Rome. And the Club of Rome actually have written down stuff. The Committee of 300 doesn't write anything down. They just give their instructions there by us. So the Committee of 300 gives us instructions to the Club of Rome in the 60s. 60s, they write these articles about the formation of the Club of Rome, and this is what they write. By the year of 2050, there will be too many humans on the Earth who will be using up more resources on the planet than the Earth itself can remake or replenish. Mm-hmm. Therefore, we need to come up with a strategy. This is in the 1960s. We're going to come up with a strategy to depopulate and infertilize the planet to get the population of humanity down to 1 billion people by the year 2050. All right, so that's what they write. That's not the only thing they write in there. They write in there that they are going to do it with pandemics and vaccine agendas.
Huh.
And those vaccine agendas that are going to look like efforts to prevent and protect people from developing diseases, we are going to use those as agents of weapons to create infertility and death. And we're going to do this with a vaccine agenda that we're going to roll out. And it is going to appear very slowly that the die-off and the infertility is going to continue to march forward to our 2050 goal of having only a billion people left on the planet. And they're going to do it subtly. They want to do it humanely is what they actually write. We're going to do it humanely, not to create a lot of upset around the world that we're infertilizing people and killing them. But that's what they write about in the 1960s. And they write that 500 million of the 1 billion, so exactly 50% of all the people that will remain on the Earth by the year 2050, half of them will be of Asian descent from China and Japan.
Oh.
This is exactly what they wrote. And you want to know what they wrote in the 1960s?
Hmm.
The reason why 500 million of the remaining 1 billion on the planet will be from Asia is because these citizens of Asia have already had ingrained in them for millennia to respect and bow down to authority.
Oh, so submissives.
They want them submissive. So these are going to be the ones they're going to use to carry out whatever their agendas are going to be from there on out.
Kind of leaves us out, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it's wild, though. But in this book, they actually talk about 1995, who is lined up by the Committee of 300 to be the presidents of the United States from 1995 till now. Wow. And he was right about all of them. So wow. As you read this, you're like, wait a minute. He says the Committee of 300, primarily based out of England,
mm-hmm.
is who owns this country. And this Committee of 300, they own the United States. The Committee of 300 runs the United States. The Committee of 300 has selected, he writes in the book, every president of the United States of America since Abraham Lincoln, for sure. He says, I have evidence to show you. Committee of 300 has selected every single president of the United States since Abraham Lincoln. There is no free election process in America, he wrote in 1995. You all think you are voting for a president. You are just going through the motions. These right. people have already been selected. And he names them all in orders from Abraham Lincoln to now. They wanted these people for this reason, this reason. And John Coleman's reference, how does he knows all this stuff? He was a many, many year decorated MI6 member in England in their CIA, which is called MI6.
I wonder if the 300 owns the Dominion company for the voting machines here.
And Dominion, he talks about in the book, Dominion is one of the words in which their goal is to dominate the world. Dominion is their total goal. So I didn't find it ironic that the names of the machines were Dominion.
Right.
The voting machines.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you want to know the truth, if this is fun for you, in that book, people nonstop are worried about the border, southern border of Texas. Constantly, so many people on the patriotic side of the movement here, constantly talking about the border, don't understand why the border is not handled. So in love with Donald Trump, finally building a wall, but just not being able to finish it. Had the election stolen from him, or else he would have finished it. And the truth is that wall was never going to be finished. The truth is, since 1995, even John Coleman wrote about that wall. So as I'm reading this book, I'm like, oh my God, he knew everything that was happening right now. How did he know this?
Kind of Nostradamus in effect, isn't it?
It's so wild. In 1995, he writes that the Club of Rome in the 60s wrote. So they wrote in the 60s what he is summarizing in his book in 1995. They wrote in the 60s that what they are going to do is they are going to insert, this is not a joke, Jesuits into every single branch of government. They're also going to insert Jesuits into every single leadership of every Protestant major religion in America. And even in the 60s wrote, and you will know when we have accomplished our mission to infiltrate the leadership of every Protestant religion in America, we will show the world, the Committee of 300 and the Club of Rome, we will show you, in the 60s they said, we will show you when we have accomplished our goal to infiltrate all Protestant religion. They hate Protestant religion. Jesuits are like a military arm of the Catholic Church.
Okay.
So in the 60s, the Jesuits are now going to infiltrate all branches of the government, every leadership organization of every major Protestant religion in America. And then they said this in the 60s. The world will know we've accomplished our mission on the religious front.
Do we know?
Yep. They said, you will know that we've accomplished it when you watch an inauguration of the United States president and that president's inauguration for the first time ever will be set up for him to be facing the Washington Monument when he puts his arm to the square to swear his oath to the presidency. Guess who was the first ever president to face the Washington Monument in his inauguration? When this was the sign written in the 60s by those in the Club of Rome, that this was going to be the sign that they have infiltrated every Protestant religion. And when they do that, they said, we are going to destroy all the belief systems in those religions.
Wow.
They hate Protestantism. They want to destroy everything related to Protestantism. They want you to go back to the paganism of Catholicism. So this is what they want. They want you coming back to them. So they are going to insert themselves into these religions and start turning them away from their original beliefs.
So no doubt.
Their reformed beliefs.
No doubt it was Sleepy Joe.
It was actually Ronald Reagan.
No.
Yeah, it was actually Ronald Reagan. So that was the very first one. And there's lots of covering documentaries on this and books written about this, but that is exactly who it was. Not ironic, in my opinion, to find out that in 1986, Ronald Reagan is the guy we find now being blamed for the immunity given to all drug manufacturers for any injury, harm, or death caused by any vaccine made ever. He signed an act in 1986 that gave immunity to all drug companies from ever being sued, ever being liable for an injury caused by any vaccine ever administered to an American citizen. So now there is no recourse for any family who has had a child or themselves injured or killed by a vaccine. They have no compensation coming their way, no recourse of action to seek justice. And that was all written into law by Ronald Reagan. In fact, there would never have been the ability to create an environment of bullying, coercion, like you saw in COVID-19, bribery with donuts and lottery tickets for a vaccine. That would have never been allowed if Ronald Reagan had not have signed that document in 1986 and put us in this very situation that we find ourselves in. So this was a setup from the beginning, and they used, unfortunately, one of America's favorites,
right,
Ronald Reagan,
right,
to actually sabotage all of us. And man, it has been a war ever since, unfortunately.
I'm sitting here in awe. I'm still trying to process that.
Yeah, it is very hard. So then once you get to, let me just tell you about this. It's crazy, because once you get into the book, what you learn is about the border. I mentioned the border. When you get to the border, and I just tell you, this book answered every question I'm seeing reported around the world that everybody's trying to figure out answers to. It just doesn't make any sense, right? It doesn't make any sense. Why would we not have a border or a wall already completed? We've been around 400 years. Why haven't we done this?
Right.
All right, so, you know, why have we not done this already? Okay, you've got to understand there's a reason it's not done. And in the 1960s, the Club of Rome wrote, we're going to put a Jesuit, a Catholic, into positions of power. And just so y'all know, do you know who Anthony Fauci is? Anthony Fauci is a Jesuit. He actually has said from the time he was ever made a director at the NIH, every time he's interviewed in the news, they ask him, where do you give your credit to your success to? And he says, 100% of the time, I give all credit to my success in my public office and in my private life to the theology of the Jesuits. That's exactly what he says.
Wow.
Joe Biden went to Fordham University. Fordham University is the first ever Jesuit founded university in America. Guess where Donald Trump went to school? Fordham University, where Joe Biden went to school. And then people like to tell me, yeah, but he left 2 years into his college career and went to the University of Pennsylvania. And I go, you're right, he did. That's his alumni. Where did the money for Operation Warp Speed go?
Okay.
It all went to the University of Pennsylvania, which is Donald Trump's alumni. And who got the money at University of Pennsylvania? Two scientists named Kathleen Carrico and Drew Wiseman. They're the ones who, in their documents since 2009, have written, they put snake venom, phosphodiesterase, a component of snake venom, in all COVID-19 mRNA vaccines. Since 2009, they've admitted that in every single paper.
Wow.
Which is why I told the world in my Watch the Water documentary, there's snake venom in these shots. Nobody should ever do it. Those two people were at the University of Pennsylvania. Those two people just won the Nobel Prize in Medicine for creating a shot that has killed at least 35,000 people in 2 days here in America. It has created at least 90% infertility rates in Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and the UK. Infertility rates and miscarriages. 92%. This is what we awarded these people with. So now you'll start to grasp, why are we celebrating and rewarding these people with things that don't feel like they make sense?
Right.
They don't make sense because you and I aren't evil.
Right.
And you and I don't have a plan to murder, kill billions of people and get away with it. So this is why you don't see it's obvious what they're doing. They're not going to tell you this is what they're doing.
Right.
They're going to give you some other... Yeah, there's a reason we have to do this.
Well, they might
tell
you.
We love you, and we're trying to help
you. They'll put it right out front and tell you, and then you'll just look at it and ignore them.
Yeah. So, sorry, I keep jumping away from the border, but I want to mention this real quick. When people try to figure out what's the world's going on with the border, and why couldn't Donald Trump finish the border, in the book he writes, when these Jesuits are in every single branch of the United States government, and when they are in control of every leadership of every Protestant religion in America, they are going to open, 1960s is when this is wrote, we are going to open the borders of the southern part of the United States. And we are going to flood, in their words, quote, flood the southern border with immigrants from the southern countries. That would be Mexico and everyone south of them. they write in the 60s, we're going to flood them into the United States through the southern border. And this is why they say they're going to do that. Everybody who's worried about a civil war with the immigrants coming across the wall, the border, that is not why they're here. They don't care about that. They're not even interested in that. These people are being bribed and incentivized to get over here. The reason why they're coming here and why it is they wrote in the 1960s, we're going to flood people from the southern countries into the United States, not because of war, not because of their political stance. They actually wrote in the 60s, there's only one reason why we're going to do this. We've already conquered Mexico and all the other southern Latin American countries with our Catholicism religion. We are going to flood America with Catholics from the southern countries, and those Catholics, which we will incentivize to come into America. Have you not heard about the bribes, the free rent, the $500,000 per adult? Have you not seen these cash rewards to these people coming across the border? In 1960s, it's written in this book, we are going to incentivize all the Catholics to come from these southern countries to cross the border illegally, come into America, and when we give them money, when we give them food, when we give them shelter,
right.
These Catholics will continue to vote the other Catholic Jesuits we put into positions of power, and we will be able to destroy, ultimately, the goal is to destroy the Constitution of the United States, destroy the first article of the Constitution, which protects our religious freedom. They said that is what they're after. They just have to destroy our rights of religious freedom, and then they can destroy the United States of America to ultimately create what they've always wanted, which you hear about and read about, called the One World Order,
yep.
Or the New World Order, or the One World Religion. What they wrote in the 1960s is the ultimate goal of everything I just explained just now that you're seeing in the world right now, is all an attempt of the Roman Catholic Church. I'm not joking, this is really right. To create a one world empire. They want a one world religion, and that one world religion is going to be Catholic, is what they wrote in this book. And this is why you're seeing everything the way you do. The Pope, in the last 4 years, what's the Pope and what was the irony when he became the Pope 4 or 5 years ago? It has been written. There will never, ever, 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 it's written in all the historical documents of the Catholic Church, never will there be a Jesuit Pope allowed. The Jesuits were the militant part of the Catholic Church who went out and did all the conquests, conquered all the southern countries, all the European countries, you name it, did all the witch burnings and death stuff. That was the Jesuits.
Okay.
When they wrote the Jesuits, we can never have a Jesuit Pope. That's because they didn't want a militant Pope. Well, when you got Pope Francis in there, what is Pope Francis? He's the very first that's openly just talked about. He's the first ever Jesuit Pope from Argentina. There's never been a Jesuit Pope ever. What does this Jesuit Pope say in the last 4 years? Consistently, the same message over and over and over. What are two things? This is what he says over and over and over. What the world needs more than anything right now, 4 years straight now, by the way, the Pope, the clergyman on earth, the oracle of God says, what the world needs more than anything else is more vaccines.
Ah, boy.
The number two thing he says, which is the very next thing out of his mouth, we need more vaccines and we need to defund our militaries.
Oh, boy.
Okay. All right. So do you see the setup? The setup is there's this real attempt to try to destroy our military, destroy our borders, create a one world government. When he says it's time to weaken our borders and defund our militaries, this is what he says 4 years straight. This is the goal. This is really the goal. This is the agenda to create a one world religion, a one world order, a new world order. And this is what they're all trying to march towards. They're wanting to try to create a smaller populace of people that they can more easily control and then control their resources. In my opinion, it's all about dominion and it's all about dominating and getting just a few set families or individuals to own the majority of the land masses of the world.
Sure.
That's really all I think it is. So, and anyway, that's exactly how it feels.
You're in Texas, and what do your neighbors say? I mean, you've got a flavor. You got a hankering of what your neighbors are saying about the wall and the onslaught of the people coming through. What is that? What are they saying?
They're all up in arms. Lots of people. I just tell people to keep reading their books.
Right.
if you have knowledge, then it's not as stressful and it's not as odd. And the truth is, if you read the book, you'll start to recognize that there are things that are outside of your hands and they're being done intentionally, not because there's something you can do about it. They just want you distracted and preoccupied with some other fanatical idea, agenda, something that's upsetting and theoretical or philosophical, sure, and nothing really important to life. So if you can just focus on the fact that we need to be great for each other 100% of the time, that actually protects us most of the time from doing things that are dumb, being isolated and alone and hurting other people. If you can just always focus on being great, there are tons of people here in Texas freaking out about the border,
right,
scared to death about the immigrants. I too want a healthy, strong border. I totally believe that's important. I believe we should have one. And we have tons of citizens here who are going there when the government's not helping them, and they are putting together their own little...
Yes, your governor.
Their own little groups. Our governor's even doing it.
Right.
So, and celebrating that the citizens are doing that and participating. If it's important to the citizens, go do it.
Sure.
And we have a lot of people doing it here in Texas and from Florida joining us here in Texas. It's been very exciting to watch.
And your governor, Stubbs, says no is at Sleepy Joe and says, we don't care what you say, here's what we're doing.
Yep, exactly right.
Wow, that's a huge thing.
Exactly right. All right, well, I actually am just getting notifications on my phone that I'm supposed to be on another business call, so I need to get on another call. But this interview has been awesome.
Let's plug your site one more time before we go so people can redo it.
Sure. So my website is thedrartistshow.com, thedrartistshow.com. Also, healingfortheages.com is a huge conference and effort of me and a bunch of other doctors to educate the world on all the different types of ways in which they make us sick. They target us, and these include things like the DNA plasmids you learned about in this radio show. We talk about 5G radiation. We talk about blue light technology and your LEDs, lights in your home, your cell phones. You guys don't know this, but those technologies are being used to damage our DNA. And we keep showing people, they know exactly what gigahertz to stimulate your light bulbs. Every LED light bulb in your house, for example, has radio antennas. And they tell you on the box that they can control the amount of electronic emissions from your lights. Well, the EMFs they put off, the Wi-Fi radiation, the 5G radiation, all of these do what are called double-stranded DNA breaks. They damage your DNA. They kill the cells. They create disease and death. We have created a group of people and a conference called Healing for the Ages. Our first one was a huge success in September of 2023. We have another one coming up physically in September of 2024. But we have monthly virtual conferences. Some are free. One is coming up in May that will be a small charge, but it's going to be an all-day event, Memorial Day weekend. You can go to healingfortheages.com and go to the calendar there on the website to see all of our activities. Most of them are free, and we're just educating people on things we're researching and learning. Try to keep you as safe and healthy as possible, because they're not going to stop lying to you. Somebody's got to keep trying to tell you the truth.
Yeah, for sure. And we appreciate that. We appreciate you. My listeners totally appreciate you. So hold on. Go ahead.
Also, I learned something this morning before getting on this call. I heard that you're now an affiliate for the Artist Labs products.
So
anything at the drartistshow.com, I've got 10 for 10s, which are $10 videos and a PDF that explain how you can reverse conditions naturally, even if you're on medications. We do that with experts around the world. And then we also have supplements. If you use the discount code or the affiliate code HUTCAST, HUTTCAST, that'll give you additional savings on anything you select there at thedrartistshow.com.
And that is wonderful. She wanted me to fill out the W-9. Would you tell Christina that any and all proceeds used in HUTCAST will go into a charity of your choice?
That's awesome. We look forward to doing that. We love giving money away to charities. Thank you.
All right, Doctor, thank you very much. HUTCAST signing off. And again, thank you. And wake up, people. Sometimes you just got to pay attention. So catch you next time.
God bless.
And that's a wrap for HUTCAST. HUTCAST is, again, a pragmatic approach to seeing things how some people see them. If you like our show, give us a thumbs up on the Facebook site. Again, for HUTCAST, thank you again. Have a wonderful evening.